First of all, I just want to say I'm going to miss this place. And you guys. And I'm going to miss the worship. I don't know if there's any worship out there like this. You know? I don't care if you ever make a CD. This worship is awesome. I don't care if you ever sell a CD. This worship is awesome. When Pete got on that guitar this morning, I said, I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss my brother up here on the percussion. I'm going to miss Terry on the drums. I'm going to miss Deb with the keyboard and her prophetic stuff she does on the keyboard. I'm going to miss Josephine singing up there and Patrick doing his thing. I think the guy likes to worship. You know. And I want to just say something specifically to Dave Bryant, who plays the percussion. I used to play the percussion before Dave came. And I used to pray, Lord, send us a real percussionist. And so one of our, it was Amber, Amber Storm's sister, what was her name, Brooke? She came up to me one night and says, you see that guy up there sitting over there? I said, yeah. God told me he plays the drums. He plays percussion. I went over to David, do you play drums or play percussion? Yeah, I do. And guys, does he ever, hey? I'm telling you, yeah. So I was happy to step down, but I kind of miss it. But it was fun, and I enjoyed it. And I had the rhythm of the coordination of a one-legged spider. That wasn't bad, though. I mean, for a one-legged spider, it wasn't bad. I could get serious in a minute, but I also want to just want to acknowledge your parents, David, for giving us this corporation. They had a little building, about maybe 30 by 40, if that big, out in Bullhead City, Arizona, about. And people say, what's the name of your corporation? Bullhead City, Bread of Life Ministries. Where the heck is Bullhead City? Well, I don't know. It's out there somewhere. It's across the river from Laughlin, Nevada. So anyway, this corporation, I mean, David could have got a corporation a whole lot cheaper than he did, but God told him to go to this guy and he would set up a corporation that would be worldwide. And so this corporation is worldwide. It is. We can do anything in the world. You know, and we can build churches, schools, synagogues. We won't build any of those. But there's a lot of things that we can do with this corporation. So I'm going to remain as part of the corporation for now, until God says otherwise. And it's up to you guys to do everything that's possible that you can do with this corporation. And some of it will be done in Israel. We will have a place there. We will have a house there, or a building, or whatever God wants. I think it's just a house. And we will do ministry there, because God's called us to do that. And you guys are to co-labor with me as I co-labor with Christ. And I'm very, very... I'm really excited. I'm so excited that when I took my DNA test, you know, and they have you spit in this thing, I said, Israeli blood, Lord. Israeli spit. I mean, Israeli spit. You know, so that's what I did. And there you have it. It'll be done. Somehow. God's a miracle worker, right? He wants me to have Israeli spit, I will. So, anyway. The results haven't come back yet, but be praying that they'll find only Israeli spit. So, and he spit on the ground, he made mud packs and healed them all. So anyway, there's other things. You know, I went through the Ancestry.com and found a lot of interesting things, and there's still more to do. I only went back to 1672, so, you know, and there's a lot of history there that's pretty interesting. And anyway, I didn't come to share that this morning. I came to share this. I believe I've done the very best that I could. Maybe I could have done better. But I took a bunch of misfits who thought they were prophets and turned them into prophetic people. And teachers. And my late wife came and gave you all the Hebraic root stuff. I know it touched many of you. So all I can say, the most important thing I can say to you today is this, that everything you've learned has no value or no power or no authority if you don't let the love of God push it out of your heart. I believe that the same Holy Spirit who shed the love of God abroad in our heart is the one who pushes the words, whether they be prophecy or teaching or counsel or whatever. He pushes those out of our heart. Because it's the love of God that causes us to live and move and have our being in Him. And the reason that God is on the move is because we allow Him to move in us and through us. Otherwise, He's just going to sit and wait. Say, what's wrong with my people? They're not allowing me to move. You know, He chose to dwell in us. And if I don't get anything else across to you, I'm going to tell you this. He dwells in you, and it's His life in you that will cause the kingdom to advance because you are becoming like Him. Nobody else. No superheroes, no matter where they're from or what they got or how anointed they are, the same anointing that they have dwells in you. So there. You got it? Okay, I'll see you later. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Now I have to go over there. And, you know, we hear a lot about the hardened hearts. Well, you know, it's love that softens any heart. And it's the love of Yeshua HaMashiach that dwells in me that I will give to them. And I will, when the opportunity arises, share with them how to hear the voice of God and what to do with it. Because it's missing, it's lacking. I know a couple guys I know that actually move in that over there. And I think, Lord, why are you sending me? What can I do? What can I do over there? And it boils down to this. I do what my Father tells me to do. Period. I am not going to do anything else unless He tells me to do whatever. So don't try to say, hey, you're supposed to be doing this. And I've had, oh yeah, Father told me that, I will. And if Father didn't tell me that, I won't. So, and by the way, I can hear Father just as well as any of you. You know? Because sometimes people think, well, you know, we got to tell the pastor because he's not hearing God. Well, then he shouldn't be up here anyway. But I appreciate all the help that I can get and that it's confirmation at times that I am hearing God. So I've appreciated that over the years. You guys have been awesome. You guys have been awesome. Some of you stuck it out with me, even though you thought I was inapproachable, or you know, I told somebody the other day, I'm approachable to those that I want to be approachable to. Sometimes you have to discern certain things, otherwise it'll suck the blood right out of you, you know. So I'm telling it like it is, guys. Come on. So you just have to, and then you have to love them. You have to love them. You just have to love them because God loves them. Boy, I found that really, really hard. God. Oh, you love them. Okay, I got it. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I have to take off my three-piece suit now. By the way, this is a genuine three-piece suit. The jacket, the shirt, and the Levi's, or the Wranglers. Three pieces. And it's less than $200. Not a lot, but somewhat. Clothing's going up in price these days. So, remember this, your identity is not in your gift, your calling. It's not even what God's called you to do. That's not your identity. When people look at you, they should be seeing one thing and one thing only. And that is Jesus Christ. There's nowhere in Scripture that says you're being conformed to the image of Elijah or Jack the Ripper or whoever, you know. You're being conformed to one image only. You're being conformed to the image and likeness of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ our Lord. That was my first prayer when I came to know Him. Lord, make me more like You today. Very dangerous prayer. Very dangerous prayer. Because He'll take, okay, you want to be like Me? Well, here. Here's a little suffering for you. Here's some stuff that you have to go through if you want to be like Me. I've already come through it, but I want you to feel it and know how to, and understand how it is so that you can grow and be mature in Me. So that someday I can send you to My people. And you're not, if you're not ready, don't go. That's what I'm telling you. If you're not ready, I love those people. You don't know how much I love them. Because God loves them so much. And church, don't ever think that you have replaced them, because you haven't. You're only grafted in. Which makes you exactly one of them, by the way. Exactly one of them. And I want you to pray that there's a move among the rabbis that begin to see who Yeshua really is, who their Messiah really is, and stop all their brainstorming, changing this and changing that because it sounds good, or we got to figure this out, or whatever. Let them have a revelation. Father, give unto them the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of You. So I pray for them, for the rabbis, to have the spirit of revelation and knowledge of Him. And you know how they're going to get it? Through people who go over there and don't argue with them, but just love them. Well, I was told, don't argue, don't start an argument in Israel. Because when you got two Jews, you got three opinions. I found that to be true. One night I was having a little discussion with Tiki. We were having back and forth, and yes, no, yes, no. I said, are we having a Jewish argument? She says, I'm not Jewish, I'm Israeli. Okay, you win. So anyway, it's really hard to leave here today. It shouldn't be, but it is. We've been together a long, long time, guys. 1998, we started this. Thanks for hanging in there. Thanks for hanging in there. And it's been over 5 years since Gail went to join the Great Cloud of Witnesses. And I really believe that's where she is, because she visited them many times. I say many, maybe two or three, but some of us haven't visited them once. But she did, and I think she's up there saying, okay, we're changing a few things now. No. No, I don't think she's doing that. But she probably would like to. At least that was her attitude here on earth. So anyway, God, you know, God's done some wonderful things in all of us since she's been, since she's joined the cloud. Yeah. So yeah, it's been really cool and wonderful, and I appreciate everything you guys have done and said and honored her. Because I'll tell you something, whether it be known or not, she loved you guys deeply.
I knew it.
Yeah, John knew it. You're yelling, you're supposed to be singing.
She didn't
say it this morning. But look at him now. Yeah, look at him now. Yeah.
And I'm, pardon me?
I'll try. If I can reach that far, you'll feel my touch. I'm kidding, Deb. We will, Deb. I will, yeah. Absolutely.
We'll force him.
Yeah, you may have to. No, I'm, as you know, I'm not a great communicator, but I try. And I've actually perfected the computer to a degree that it's dangerous. Thanks for Gary Wiley helping me out with some things as I make this move. Thank you so much, Gary. I really appreciate that. I just want to give you a couple charges. Here's the way I came to you. And here's the way I'm leaving you. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring you, to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now I will tell you, this next line is the truth. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, as you know, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of rich or any other man, but in the power of God. And if you don't get that, then you haven't got anything. So it's in the power of God that dwells in you, who dwells in you. He is a person. He is the creator of heaven and earth, and He dwells in you. And you must release everything that He is to those who need it. Who needs it? Everybody. Everybody. Everybody needs it. Everybody needs to know who He is. Oh my gosh, there I am sitting in the garden. I could tell you who took that picture, but you already know. That's a Tikva picture. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Who are coming to nothing. The rulers and the wisdom of this age are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew and still do not know. They don't know. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, and I want you guys to remember this, because this is something you yourselves can have and do and be. And Paul understood this, and it came right out of the Old Covenant. And it says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." If you love Him, He's got a lot more for you than what you already have. A lot more. Every day, He's fresh. His words, His love, His power is fresh every day. Every day, every moment of every day. Every millisecond or nanoseconds or half a nanosecond, you know? That's pretty quick. This is how much He loves us. This is who He is in us and through us. And we got to stop thinking about, you know, we're the church of this or that or whatever. We're the body of the living Christ. Church is a good word. But what does it really mean? It's sure not this building, I can tell you that. Because I've designed a lot better looking churches than this. So, anyway, it's you are. You are the living body of the living Christ and representing the living God here on this earth just as it is in heaven. This is who you are. And I cannot overemphasize that enough. This is who you are. This is who you are. And all He expects is for you to let Him work through you. Paul understood what it meant to co-labor with Christ. It wasn't out digging ditches. It was co-laboring with the heart of God. The very heart, the very intent, the very compassion, the very power of the living God. Co-laboring with Him because He dwells in you. And you represent Him every place you go. Every place you go. I was so happy to hear a dear friend of mine tell me this in October of last year. "Every day you were in my house, I felt the presence of God." That was a blessing. That was a blessing. And every day we're in somebody's presence, they should feel the presence of God. People are going, "Oh, let's go over to this conference because the presence is over there." Shut up! The presence is right here. That's where the presence is. Right here. Right here. Yes. That's where the presence is. It's okay to go there and they can tell you how to get into the presence or closer to the presence or whatever, but that's not where the presence is. The presence is in you. It just comes together in a greater corporate way. But that's not the emphasis of the kingdom of God. The emphasis of the kingdom of God is the presence of God is in you. In you. And you need to represent that very presence in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power. And that's where healing comes. That's where signs, wonders, and miracles come. And when you don't demonstrate that, you're not demonstrating what God is or who He is. Hi. That's Katrina sitting out there by herself. Hi, Katrina. I just wanted to embarrass her because she has a very shy smile. Anyway, sorry about that, Katrina. Didn't mean to embarrass you sitting out there by yourself. Don't you love it when you have friends that can take a joke? I hope. Yeah, anyway, just kidding. Did you see Jesus had a sense of humor too? That's why I got such a great sense of humor. Because He understands me and He wants me to just be myself in Him and Him in me. I can't be anything else. I mean, I can't get up here and give you persuasive words of men's wisdom. I could try, but I have to do a little study. But here's the thing, guys. When I became a believer, I knew that something had changed in my life, just as each and every one of you who have become a believer knew that something changed in your life. What was that change? He came along with the sword, which is the Word of God, and He plunged it into your heart, and He gave you new life. Look at it that way. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you rather be killed by the devil or by the Lord? Because He gives you new life when He plunges that sword, the Word of God, into your heart. A new life comes. And that's really what we're all about, guys. It's I don't think we're playing church here. But if we are, stop it. You know? I don't think we are. I think we've come to the place of great maturity, or greater maturity, if you will, where we've actually understand that we are the living body of Jesus Christ right here on this earth. Each and every one of us is a part of that body. And you just do what the Father tells you to do. You just be who He's ordained you and called you to be, who He set apart you to be, no matter what, whether you're in business or whatever you're doing. It's so vital and so important to let Him, let His life be your life. Let His life be your life. And the enemy will, when you do that, the enemy will come against you in a powerful, powerful way. But in Luke 10 it says that He gave them power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He gave them authority, exousia, which means authority over the dunamis power of the enemy. And we can say, oh, the enemy has great power. Yeah, why have authority over that dude? His power sucks. My authority is greater than His power. Your authority is greater than His power. I said, your authority is greater than His power. Amen. You realize that where I'm sitting right there is about 4 blocks from where I'm going to be living. Maybe 5. I'm looking forward to getting there. I'm looking forward to that miserable, long 10-hour flight where I can rejoice in sleep and dreams and visions. Hopefully. So, you guys understand who you are, what you're to do. You understand that I'm giving you a charge right now to go and do what the Father tells you to go and do. Don't be afraid. I remember Ra Luca, when she first came, she used to sit by herself, never said much. But I thought, well, there's a woman who looking after God. I remember Sarah when she came to me the first time and said some things, I think I'm supposed to be here. And I thought, yeah, you are. Well, she came back today for a very special visit because she now lives near Wyoming someplace. So I was very proud of Ra Luca over the years as she's come up and give prophetic words and spot on, right from the heart of God. Really, really, like most of you have. Just get up and do it. You know, just get up and do it. That's what I encourage you to do. Just be who He's called you to be and do what He's called you to do and don't try to be anything else. Don't worry about your name appearing on a conference list or something. It's not important. What's important is that your name is written in the book of life. That's the most important thing. Your name, most important place your name can be written. It is awesome. It is honorable. It is so good to wake up in the morning and know that the living God dwells in you, and that He has something for you to do to represent Him that day. Something for you to do every day to represent Him in the power and love and have a sound mind and stop submitting to the spirit of fear because it's not of God. I appreciate your prayers and your intercessions as I go over there to live and to do what God's called me to do. And I really need your prayers. That's the greatest support that I can get. And your love. And it's amazing how God set everything in place and how I thought I was getting ahead of Him by leaving this early, and as it worked out, it's perfect. And as the things that came up concerning my apartment and getting out of the lease and all that was going to be so easy, it wasn't. And then God just reimbursed me. He just reimbursed me, you know. I mean, almost to the exact amount, maybe a little more. And I said, Lord, have I missed it? Nope. Time to go. So Wednesday morning, when they unload the truck of my baggage, I've tried to cut it down as much as possible. You can ask Charles, in one of his bedrooms right now, there's a suitcase partially full. There's stuff scattered all over the room, boxes in his living room. And, you know, he had a nice, neat house before I showed up. So I've got a few things to do this afternoon, and then I'm going to go finish packing and get rid of my little car tomorrow. I've had my little car since it was new. And now Sammy's son gets to hot rod it. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But I did see the video. Oh my God. I'm honored by you guys. I'm honored by your love and your appreciation for everything I tried to do and that which I did accomplish through the grace of my Lord and Savior and friend and brother, Jesus Christ. He is my brother. He's the firstborn among many brethren. So maybe you can claim that for yourself. I certainly do for me. I hope you do. I don't have much else to say except that your life is all about representing Him. I remember my mentor many, many years ago. He said, most of all, he says, we're just introducers of Jesus Christ. My first mentor, the guy who actually encouraged me to teach, his wife was the first prophetic person I ever met, scared the living daylights out of me. And then she says, by the way, you're going to be involved in the school of the prophets one day. And I think, I don't know about any school of the prophets. I don't know where that would be. Or how, you know, this was in 1960-something. And anyway, here we are. God bless you. God love you. Make His face shine upon you. And may you have His love for each other forevermore. Amen.